Today's podcast is brought to you by Hyundai and the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the wide range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some Big Brother preseason coverage. Everybody is waiting for Big Brother 24. And as the news coming from Studio City is silent, we will make our own podcast tonight because we are talking about, as we head into the 4th of July weekend, anybody likes fireworks? That's what we're talking about here tonight as we are going to bring you a bracket of Big Brother's most fun fights. And we have an incredible panel to talk about it with. Of course, we are here with a man who is getting ready for live feeds a couple of days from now. He's rested and ready to go. The robot, it's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm very excited, Rob. Here for some fireworks. We actually just got a tweet from the official Big Brother Twitter account. Looks like we're not getting a cast this weekend, that it'll be Tuesday. We'll need some coverage to hold us over. That's what we're here for. That's what I've been hearing.
Okay. When you said we got a tweet, I was like, oh my God, they responded to us? What is cease and desist? Yeah. Oh my God. All right.
Yeah. They saw that we were talking about fights and they decided they wanted to start one.
Okay. Well, what is this? Is this the very tiny print here on the screen? What are we saying here?
Okay. Enhance.
Hey, Big Brother fans, enjoy your long weekend. We'll be announcing the BB24 cast Tuesday. See you then. Wait, I thought Janelle said it was coming tomorrow.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Cut to Janelle on crutches, like, check out my cast. Okay. All right. Of course, we could not talk about Big Brother's greatest fights without a man who is maybe the biggest Big Brother super fan of them all. It is Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am wonderful. When I heard that we were going to do this, I jumped at the opportunity to be a part of this podcast because I love reality television arguments. They are just my life force. They are my lifeblood. I love studying them. I love quoting them. I love reenacting them. I have been doing so for the past 6 years on Twitter. This is just what I live for. So I am so excited to beat some ass with y'all today.
Yeah. Okay. And again, we're looking for here today, and we have a bracket of our 16 competitors in honor of 16 house guests. Okay. The 16 most fun fights in Big Brother history. And we phrased it that way for a specific reason. Fun fights. Fun. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on fun. Not the biggest fights that ever happened. Maybe not even the most memorable fights, but these are the fights that make you love Big Brother, not the fights that make you say, you know, I'm never watching this show. I'm going to turn this show off. Okay. I want to forget this fight. For the fun fights, I'm on.
Yeah. Not all fights are created equal. There are definitely fights that have been a part of most recent seasons and they have been uncomfortable. I have wanted to just not watch the live feeds ever again. We will not be touching those ones. Maybe a few honorable mentions here and there that don't necessarily deserve an entire shout out. But yeah, we want this to be a fun podcast. We want this to be fireworks, but not too close. We don't want to get burned. We just want to acknowledge some of the most hilarious and out there fights that have been brought on by some of the most crazy characters that we've got on the show.
Yeah. Taryn, you like Big Brother fights?
You know, I like reenacting them.
Oh,
it's a fun time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have a very specific view of what like a fun fight for me is. And it's probably slightly more narrow than like the broad audience. But you can say me. Then I'm on. But I think this is going to be fun. I think that there are some very fun fights throughout the history of Big Brother, and in the spirit of fights, we're getting these fights to fight off against each other.
The fights are fighting.
Exactly. It's all fights all the time. So that's what we're doing here.
Okay. So we are going to play clips from the 16 fights. They're going to be in a bracket. I know what you're saying. It's not March yet, but we're still doing a bracket here. And so we're going to go through it all. And we are going to make the case for which fights should advance. And ultimately, we will have the winner of the most fun fight bracket here by the end of the night.
Yes. Let's put them together. Let's see them go at it. Let's go to town. I'm here for it.
Okay. Of course, that it is about to be July. Of course, Big Brother is right around the corner. We are going to have our cast coming on Tuesday, apparently. And so we will have full coverage of that once it comes up. Of course, also Wednesday night, then we will have our Big Brother 24 premiere recap right after the episode. Taryn, the live feeds are coming on after the West Coast edition. Is that correct?
I think they're starting at what, like 12:30?
Yes. So 30 minutes. I guess after it's a 90-minute premiere followed by Challenge USA. And then so it sounds like after the West Coast airing of the 90-minute premiere, that's when live feeds are going to kick in on Wednesday night.
Yes. Meaning probably like another 20 minutes on top of that.
Another 20 minutes after that. I know a lot of people are asking about, but what about the draft? When is the draft happening? I believe as currently scheduled, we are going to have the draft on Thursday night of next week. So that we will have 24 hours to sort of see the house guests in action. We will likely have an HOH. Maybe nominees. Will they do the nominees like within like 24 hours of moving in? I don't think so, right?
That's a good question.
If they do the HOH like they did last time and they crown someone at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Then I could see a possibility for that.
No, yeah. You know what? If I remember last year, I remember it was a Friday afternoon that Frenchie had made his first nomination. So I think they're going to like get on the regular schedule because nominations happen on Friday. Yeah. So okay. I think that we'll have that we might have our HOH crowned by the end of Wednesday night. Is there an episode? There's no episode Thursday night, right? So by Friday afternoon, we'll have our nominees. So
and if the first HOH is anything like last season's, the people we think are going to be nominated on Thursday will be in the best position in the house on Friday.
Could change late in the game. So that's the little bit of a preview of what's coming up next week. And of course, we will get on our regular Big Brother schedule after that. I also want to remind people that it's going to be July, start of the new month. Great time to get in on being a Rob Has a Podcast patron. We're going to have a lot of Big Brother content for the patrons. We are going to bring back the BB Q&A where Taryn is going to join me every Friday afternoon. We will answer your questions live. That is a patron only show. I will also be bringing back the slop. We were talking about all of the nonsense going on in the world of Big Brother. Do that live on Monday nights. Plus, we will have other exclusive content for the patrons in regards to Big Brother. We're talking about trying to get more guests and do those shows live for the patrons of the podcast. And then, of course, we'll put those in the feed after we are done. Of course, you can check all that out at robisatwebsite.com/patron. And I want to let you know that we're doing a sale that we will not do again this year. Annual membership, pay for 10 months and get the year for free. All right. We don't normally do that. That is a Black Friday type deal. At robisatwebsite.com/patron. And we're doing that for the first week of July to kick off Big Brother 24. Fourth of July. Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about our field of 16. Now, this was a collaboration. We got Taryn's list, we got Amon's list, we got a few others. We put them together, and then from that list, we sent it off to Mike Bloom, who helped us seed the list. So we do not know exactly what order everything came in. We just know what we fed into the Mike Bloom Seeds Baby computer. Okay.
Yes. With one caveat, I think.
With one caveat. And then we did, yeah. And then we had a late switch out. Okay. So we have some honorable mentions. Should we run through our honorable mentions first? The things that did not quite make the list of 16 fun fights.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's
honor them. Taryn, do you want to start us off with an honorable mention?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorites is, and it's hard because I think the reason this is an honorable mention is that it's not exactly a fight, but it's very memorable. It's when Daniel Reyes is at the door, ringing the doorbell in Big Brother All-Stars, and she's just getting ghosted by Will and Erica. And there is a little bit of a fight that goes along with it, but you kind of remember it for that moment more so than the fight that's attached to it. It's not like the biggest fight in the world, but it is a very like iconic moment of conflict, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Just pressity press, press, press. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
All right. Ahmad, do you have an honorable mention you want to share?
My honorable mention is it's kind of unorthodox, just like Taryn's. It's not necessarily a fight between two house guests, but maybe more so a fight between a house guest and production.
Yes.
Yes. We all know and love Shima Simone from Big Brother 11. She had probably a very devastating thing to handle whenever her HOH was usurped by one golden boy, Jeff, and that resulted in one of her allies then leaving, and she had an entire meltdown, which culminated in her throwing her mic into the pool. It was a standoff between her and production for days, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they decide, you know what, Shima, it might be time for you to go. Now, during the time, I didn't watch Big Brother 11 live, so I'm not really sure what the audience perception was like live, but I know nowadays a lot of us look back on that conflict with a lot of sympathy for Shima, because I mean, she really, production really screwed her out of a good week, and she wasn't going to stand for it, and she let that be known.
Yeah, I think it was, looking back, I think that there's a catharsis there for Shima of, I feel like every Big Brother fan at some point wanted to throw their mic pack in the pool at one point or another, Taryn, that even you probably, that there's a twist that happens and you're going to unscrew this microphone and just throw it in the bathtub.
Yeah. If I had a pool in my little studio, this microphone, it would be my 10th iteration of it.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the feeds.
Yeah. So
I feel like we don't get a lot of Alison Grodner content as it pertains to the show that she executive produces. So the fact that she was the one to come in and be like, mm-mm, you don't need to sit down. Come on through. Let's just end this now, I think is very iconic for Shima.
Okay. Honorable mention for Shima. Okay. Taryn, another favorite honorable mention.
One of my favorite moments. It's one of the reasons why this is not technically a fight is that it includes Dan Giesling, who is not much of a fighter. It probably would have been a fantastic fight if Dan deigned to fight back. But it's after the funeral, Brittany Haynes just going to town on Dan. He's the devil. He's the worst. He'll offer, hey, here's a pie made of arsenic. Hey, Dan, what do you think? Why would you do that? What do you have to say for yourself? What do you want me to say?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it, Dan? Is that it?
Yeah, Dan really is just a wet towel, and we will see that. Small spoiler, we'll see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. His actual ranking, but yeah, he's not one to go back and forth with the fisticuffs, verbally or otherwise, I'm assuming.
So, yeah, if there's an all-time fight going on in the Big Brother house, check the beds, because Dan's probably in one with a pillow on his face.
Right.
Okay, I'll give another BB14 one. How about Willie Hance versus Chef Joe? And this was just, I'll always remember, is was such a iconic day. I think it was a Friday afternoon, And everybody's talking on Twitter about like, everybody turn the feeds on. Willie Hance is, you know, he had like such a wild first week. And then feeds went down and they were down for about 8 hours up until we came back. And no Willie Hance left in the house.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we were to, I mean, when you look at Frank as a player on Big Brother 14, it's like he spent something like 80% of his time on the block. I think Willie Hance spent about 80% of his time in screaming fights on Big Brother 14 between his fight with Frank and then subsequently with Joe and the headbutt, you know, the infamous headbutt.
Yeah.
That's the reason I didn't have any, I like anything that gets a little physical. I'm like, all right, was that, how fun was
we
that?
We don't condone physical violence in the house. Okay. So that's what made it on the outside looking in of most fun fights.
I mean, production, like, they were the ones that wanted this, right? Like, they were, like, out here, like, being like, wait, we're going to get the Hanses up in here because the Hanses are some firecrackers. And then be careful what you wish for, right? So poor Ian was, like, caught in the middle of that conflict. And then a similar thing happens to him in BB22 as well. It's just, like, wherever Ian goes, if he's in the bathroom, in the shower, something's going to pop off.
Yeah. I mean, it was earlier in the week with, I think it was when Willie was fighting with Frank and he came out and said, anybody want DiGiorno? Okay. All right. So, yeah, another of BB14 moment on the outside looking in. Any other honorable mentions?
BB13's Rachel versus Reagan is probably,
I think we subbed that one in. That's the one
we
that
did, we
got.
We did.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I just spoiled. My apologies.
It's okay. We're going to talk about it in a minute.
Yes, and that's there is a Big Brother 12 one that I think goes, if you kind of remember it, you don't always remember it as a fight, but Captain Kosher on his way out the door decided he was going to drop a bomb Kristen and Hayden have been secretly romantically involved. And Hayden's a great guy, but Kristen, she's the worst. She's a Medusa, I think maybe he said, I'm not sure.
Medusa.
And then Kristen and Hayden are like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And he's like, Why would I lie?
Because you're trying to go out with a bang.
Okay. All right. Those are our honorable mentions for the most fun fights. Now we're down to the field of 16. Okay. All right. And so in the field of 16, we're going to have our top seed against the bottom seed. Okay. 1 versus 16. I guess let's talk about the 16, and it's already come up. It is going to be Reagan versus Rachel from Big Brother 12. I believe Rachel was already eliminated from the game at this point. Yes. And returned as part of a Pandora's box.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
And for 24 hours,
for,
I believe.
For 24 hours. And she was there to stir the pot. And that is what she did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I see some questions of I see in the chat. How is this 16? Why only 16? That we're not sure if it ages particularly well.
Yes.
In hindsight, we're not sure if it meets the fun criteria.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I think on Reagan's end, it's top tier. Like Reagan is fantastic in this fight. Rachel's contributions, not as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do have a clip. I have a clip for all of these moments. Okay. Are we ready to hear the clip of Rachel versus Reagan from BB12? Here we go.
Let's do it.
Hey, Reagan, I'm going to make some really big, soft, gooey cookies. Do you want some?
Rachel.
What?
You don't intimidate me. You repulse me. You're
really?
A pathetic human being. Yeah, really?
Oh, that's sad.
You're about as classy as your nasty hair extensions.
Ooh. You're so feisty, Reagan.
Are they arguing? Oh, yeah. A huge part of me wants to go out there and watch this. And we can just hear by the door.
Rachel, everything about you is a lie. Oh, your really? Boobs are a lie. Your face is a lie. The only thing honest about you is the pimples on your chin. You're a wicked witch. Why don't you get on your broom and fly back inside?
Oh, you're so funny. Why don't you insult me a little more?
What is going on?
Get out of my face. If you don't like me and I don't like you, go someplace where somebody in this house actually likes you.
Oh, wait, but you said nobody likes me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a nasty, disgusting, vile rapper.
Absolutely.
What do you think you are, Regan?
I think I'm a nice person with friends in this house.
Who is your friend? Princess Brittany is your friend?
Yep.
Nobody in this house is your real friend, Regan. Nobody likes you in real life.
Really?
This is a game. If this is your gameplay, you really suck at it.
Rachel, you were out of the house last week. The last person I'm going to take lessons from is you for 24 hours. You're here for a limited time because your boyfriend did a Pandora's box and unleashed something horrible in the house. Wake up. Your days of bullying me are over. You're a conniving, evil little witch, and you got exactly what was coming to you. Talking to you is like talking to the most vile devil child in the world. And I'm done with it, baby, because I'm done with you, because your game in this house is over.
This is pretty good. This is pretty good. Yeah.
just the words, okay? Like, Reagan is one of those people that you should never want to get into an argument with because he's quick. Mm-hmm. It's just everything that Rachel could even say, he had a comeback for. It always trumped whatever she said. And, you know, good on Rachel because Rachel obviously knew what was up. She came back into the house because she knew she was supposed to stir it up. And she thought maybe Reagan might be an easy target. Reagan proved her wrong. I love the Brittany reactions that we get to see as they're all just watching from the sliding doors in the kitchen. It's just so good. Everything that you wanted to tell Rachel, Reagan went ahead and said it. I just feel like it was just one of the best fights ever.
Taryn, what was Rachel talking about with the cookies? What was she doing with cookies?
I feel like there was something to do with the
was she literally making cookies
or with food, but I couldn't tell you exactly. I think it might have just been messing with him.
She was following him around. She wouldn't leave him alone.
He's a have not. Yeah, just general messing, I think.
Okay.
And the best thing about this was that, like, she was like antagonizing him, saying that he was going to be the one that was going to go next. And he was like, nope, I won the veto. Like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, so just so good. So good.
Okay. Anything else to say about Rachel versus Reagan?
Don't mess with Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it is up against the one seed in this competition. It is up against something that it will be very hard to unseat. Okay. Is up against Keisha's birthday, the one seed in the most fun fight of all time. Okay. All right. This one is a little bit harder to hear what's going on, but we're going to bring you the number one seed here. Okay. Let's hear from Keisha's big birthday bash. Okay. Here we go.
With Ollie soaring this far away from me.
I know exactly what I said.
This far away from me. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because your ear wasn't at the door like probably normal.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Keisha.
Anybody want cake?
Thanks, guys. No, thank you, guys. Seriously.
You guys, I'm sorry for yelling. I really am. I apologize. When there's things that people don't know that have been discussed, and they run it back up and telling people.
Since we're apologizing, I'm sorry for being honest and what I heard.
Oh, because you're so respectful.
First of all, you didn't hurt me.
us even in that room to Libra. And when you were up there throwing everybody in this house under the bus, oh, the two girls you blonde are playing against each other.
And what's the constant?
No, you're the constant.
It always comes back to you.
It's you, baby.
Everybody sees it.
Do you guys even know what the how the fight started or what it's about? Because I feel as though it's been nothing but he said, she said, they said, we said. This was
No. I know exactly what the fight's about. Yeah. I know exactly what the fight's about. The fight's about because Jesse, I was told that Jesse went upstairs to April. I'll tell you what I was told. That Jesse went upstairs to April and said that Libra and I were literally screaming.
Right.
Talking about her.
And you were.
Oh my God.
Okay, but it's the same person that
Jesse.
You said, stand April.
Yeah,
I can't stand
her.
I'm walking away.
I know
exactly what this is. Exactly. So, Holly.
Well done.
Multiply
Iman.
That yeah. by like five. it's about five times as long.
Yeah, yeah. We have multiple clips from it. Iman, is there another favorite part of this?
Probably the part where Jerry tries to come in and tell Libra and April and Keisha like what Jesse had said.
So we have Jerry and Rennie.
Yeah,
they come in.
Okay.
So, just to provide a little bit of context, because even they get confused about how this. But basically, in a game of Big Brother, normally people they kind of vent to each other about others, and so that's happening. There's the people are just kind of venting about other people in the house. But Jesse had been napping and he overheard some venting. So he runs it up and tells April and Ollie, hey, you know, Libra and Keisha have been talking about you. And so they come down and they confront them. And then as they're doing that, Memphis is like making fun of the whole situation. He's like, oh, look at these women. And
classic Memphis.
And
yeah.
Classic Memphis. And then Jerry comes in and rats out Memphis for making fun of their argument. And then he gets, and Rennie's with him, and then Rennie gets mad at him. And so it's just like, anytime anybody goes to vent about the situation, they immediately get ratted out and it adds to the fire. And then they rat out Jesse for ratting out them. And it's just such a mess and it doesn't stop. It just keeps feeding itself.
Mm-hmm.
You could not write this. You cannot write this.
No.
The personalities in Big Brother 10, we've raved about it for decades now. It is just, it's magic. It's truly magic. Everyone just has an axe to grind. Everyone wants just to be heard. Everyone is stubborn as hell on that cast. It's just, and no one lets up. No one lets up. It's just like that way the entire way through this entire altercation. It's just beautiful to watch. I love it.
And of course, a few like quick clips of Dan just like.
Mm-hmm. On the couch, as yeah. usual. Lounging about.
Okay, so in this 1-16 matchup, I think it's safe to say no upset special here, right? Keisha, yeah. Keisha's birthday will advance to the round of eight.
There's just no other way.
And we have multiple clips that when we get to the next round, we can hear another clip from Keisha's birthday. Yeah. Okay. We might be able to do one for each round. Okay.
Yeah. I think Keisha's birthday comes in as the favorite here. It's who can unseat Keisha's birthday.
Can anyone unseat the most powerful player who's running the house, Keisha's birthday? Okay. All right. So let's get to our 2-15 matchup. Okay. Here is our number 15 matchup, also from BB10. Iman, do you want to set up the time zones fight?
So, if I'm not mistaken, this is between Rennie and Dan, and they are talking about what time it would be on the East Coast, if it's technically this time on the West Coast, and because Rennie is from New Orleans and her time zone is a little different from either one. So she's like, well, it would be 3 o'clock here if it's 5 o'clock there. And they're just like going round and round and round. And Rennie is so wrong here.
Okay. All right. Let's hear the clip. Okay. Of the time zones.
Don't tell me. I know my time zone, dude.
Okay, it's 8 p.m.
In the East Coast, it's an hour ahead of New Orleans.
Okay, it's 8 p.m. in California right now. What time is it in New Orleans?
It is 6 o'clock. Don't laugh. Right. You're making an ass out of yourself in front of America. I don't know why you're laughing.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying, who celebrates New Year's first, New York or California?
New York, because they're an hour ahead of me.
Ahead of New Orleans.
Ahead of New Orleans. No, right. Yeah, and then ahead. Us, and ahead. Then y'all.
Ahead.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's Central Time, ass.
Ass?
So what time is it in New Orleans right now? It's 6.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. The best part is at the end. Like, after many times, Dan keeps like, so it's 8 o'clock here. And in New Orleans, what time is it? It's 6. Mm-hmm. And then pause. Wait. What are you asking me? Hold on. It's 10 o'clock in New Orleans.
Oh, Rennie.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did we have in BB21, did Sis also not understand time zones?
Probably.
I think it was like a daylight savings thing.
Daylight savings, yeah.
She felt like, because she actually felt like the day was actually longer, mm-hmm. once the time got pushed back in the, mm-hmm. fall.
Yeah, look, it's hard. Okay. And Big Brother, you know, you exposes a lot of things that people don't know because you have the 24/7 feeds. Okay, all right. That is going up against 2 seed. Now, some people feel like, okay, well, maybe Rachel Riley and Reagan was too low for BB12. Okay. But in our number 2 seed, we are going to see from BB13, Taryn. Do you want to set up the number 2 seed?
So this is BB12 again.
Oh, BB12. I apologize.
Yes. And I think, you know, for me at least, this one is more classic. Then, like the Reagan one, definitely, like it's good. But this is one of the most classic moments in Big Brother history. It's floaters grab a life vest, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Let's hear the clip. Okay, here we go.
Floaters, you better grab a life vest, Kristen.
Yeah, I'm such a floater.
Really, what competitions have you won? And I heard you and Hayden making out last night.
Oh my God!
What? Why would I ever do something so stupid in a room with you? Why would I lie about that?
You know you didn't hear us making out last night.
You're Why would we ever do that in the room with you?
Hey, you got busted. It's okay. Let it go.
We didn't get busted. Wow.
It's all right. No worries, guys. It's not a big deal.
Why do you ever try to hide something? I think that we're smart enough to not do it around you.
Why?
Because
you're so smart, Kristen.
Yeah, I
have a fashion degree.
Yeah.
And you are, because you have a chemistry degree. String a sentence together without using the word like, will you? You have zero common sense. Zero.
Oh, I have no common sense.
Zero.
Two HOHs. Common sense.
Exactly. Just because you won 2 out of 4 is not that big of a deal.
2 HOHs, Kristen. You had just as much of a chance to win as I did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And you lost them both.
So what? Wow.
Don't wow anything, Kristen.
Why don't you grab a life vest because you're a floater and float on off because you're in dangerous waters, Kristen.
I'm going to stay here and I'm going to get you guys.
You're going to stay? Yep. Really?
Yeah,
really?
Watch.
I'm going to make it my priority to get you out, Kristen.
Okay.
You won. That's it. You won. Just let it go.
And Kathy's giving them hugs.
I thought you were my friend too, Kathy.
I am your friend, Rachel.
Apparently you're not.
I'm not going to pick friends in this house. I love all of y'all. Let's get along, okay? And do what's right.
I'll never get along with her.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay. Floaters, get a life vest. Classic.
I have been in so many arguments litigating the logistics behind this phrase. Because if something floats, why would it need a life vest?
Yeah. So was Kristen not yet able to float? But what is she? Does she need to get a life vest so she can float?
Hmm. but I thought that she was calling her that already.
It's like I think in this case the life vest is more metaphor than literal translation. The life vest meaning you need something to save you here, and it's just like she chose life vest because
sinking?
It's tangentially related.
She said you were sinking because you're trying to float.
Yeah, what was she floating and then she's like going down like
you don't need a flotation.
Yeah, that's
device.
she had just
taken on water.
I think what happened is that her HOH win was a poke into the floaty device. There's now a hole, and now Kristen is going to need a life vest because she can no longer float.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Someone just said, I think Rachel is saying she is going to sink the floaters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you will need
waters.
Extra flotation because okay. Rachel is coming to push the things down into the water.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes a bit more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Okay,
I love this fight. I think it's great. I love once again. We don't get to hear it in the clip, but Brittany Haynes offering some lovely commentary as well, talking about the fact that they are in a boxing ring. That irony is not lost on me.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy just trying to just calm everybody down. Being not
thought you were my friend.
Mm-hmm. Not only is she a wet towel, but she is like molasses that she's cracked.
No, that's a different challenge. Yeah.
Douse this fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is Rachel on the top of her game in my eyes. I mean, she's crushing Kristen left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe Taryn, that from this, maybe she came into the Reagan confrontation a little arrogant?
I think the problem with the Reagan one is that she came in, she wasn't in the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
she
like,
checked out.
The fight just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't like a game motivation behind it. It was just kind of two people arguing. And it's good because Reagan really like waxed poetic, but, mm-hmm. But this one has more passion behind it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing about Rachel, like most of the time, like she had the wins to back it up. She had the wins to back it up. Like, it is really hard to defeat somebody in an argument when they're the one that is with that HOH key around their neck. Like, there's really not much you can do.
Okay. Is this even a close fight? Is this another blowout?
I think so. I mean, I love time zones. We included it for something light and fun here, mm-hmm. I think. But in terms of it, it's a fight. It's an argument. Mm-hmm. Especially on Rennie's end. And it's very funny, classic moment. But floaters grab a life vest is, I think too iconic.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Floaters grab a life vest. You are moving on to the second round. Okay. All right. Let's talk about our 3-14 matchup. Okay. Taryn, for the 14 seed, we're going to go back to BB17. Do you want to set this clip up?
Yes. Well, everyone's favorite poker star, Vanessa Russo, here. She's gotten into many fights. I think we wanted just like the best example of a Vanessa fight. And I think the best example, the most famous line that you might think of if you think of Vanessa fighting, is that when Vanessa wins HOH, everyone wants her to go after Audrey. Audrey is the house target, but she doesn't want to go after Audrey. She wants to go after Jeff from The Amazing Race. And so the problem is that she needs reasons. She needs reasons to go after Jeff. So she kind of like fabricates a situation where she gets Austin to come down and confront Jeff about like, have you been saying things about me? And then Austin says to Jeff in front of Shelly and Clay, like, well, you told me about them and how you don't trust them. And they're like, Jeff, what the hell? And Jeff is like, what's happening right now? And then Austin starts feeling the heat. So he goes and he grabs Vanessa. And if Jeff thought that he was floundering when he was arguing with Austin, he goes straight into the pits of hell when he talks to Vanessa because, she says the famous lines, to him, you must be like silly.
Okay.
All right. Trying to argue with me. That's no.
All right. Let's hear from BB17.
Have you said that you can't work with Shelley and Clay as a couple? You did, dude. I'm not a liar. Let me tell you. I will put my hand on the Bible.
Put your hand on the Bible.
Are you tripping?
Would you ask me?
You're going to say that right? Oh, my God. You must be, like, silly. Don't you dare. And I'm sorry you really? Just sealed your fate. You want to challenge me? Have fun.
Okay.
Have fun. That's it. You're a liar. Straight up liar. Right to my face. I don't know why he would say that to me. He did, but you want to, like, make up lies about me? I will put your head on blast. Simple.
Okay.
Yes. And again, it's like, I feel like
Jeff got served. Yeah.
There's not like one super iconic Vanessa fight. I think that quote is the most famous one. There's also the one where with Johnny Mack and Clay, where Johnny Mack gets in trouble for saying that he didn't trust Vanessa, and Vanessa does not believe that it came from Johnny Mack. She thinks somebody must have put that in his head. And Johnny Mack just keeps saying like, no, I that was just me. And then Clay tries to jump in like, no, it was me. Don't say that, Johnny. And Vanessa's like, who was it, Johnny? And then there's, like when she finds out that Steve, tried to orchestrate something against her and she's like, I can't believe you would do that, Steve. Did you do it? And he's like, I don't know. Tall, you can't even speak to me right now. So many great Vanessa fights, but, you must be like silly, is I think the classic line.
Yeah, the thing about Vanessa is, like, she's not really, like, a screamer. She's just more of just, like, she's just spastic. She will just, like, talk you into the ground and convince you that you were the one that was doing all of the scheming when it's really just her. It's you. Like, and she was able to do that the entire way through. So Vanessa is, you know, like, even her fights are strategic, okay? Like, it never ends with her. She's amazing.
Okay. All right. So Vanessa, you must be like silly, has some stiff competition. It's going up against the number 3 seed, Amon. Could you set up Rockstar's daughter's birthday?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, so it's eviction night. We got Winston and we got Brett on the block. The plan, Falte's plan, is to get rid of Brett, but we know how Falte's plans often don't actually work. And so Winston is actually the one to go. But before the vote is revealed, Brett decides to go ahead and give us the whole story about how Rockstar came to him and said that she was going to do all of this scheming and flipping the vote and this, that, and the third. And of course, Rockstar can't really say anything at that point in time because they're about to get to the vote. So when Brett stays after all of that crap, Rockstar lets him have it. And it just had to be on her daughter's birthday. Her daughter's birthday.
Okay.
How dare he?
How dare he? Okay. Are we ready? Let's hear the clip from Angie Rockstar.
I cannot on my daughter's birthday believe that you would sit there and do some crap like that.
Own it. Can't even own it.
You are a bold faced. I disgusting. Disgusting.
Sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
I haven't talked to you in 3 days. You didn't campaign to me. I cannot.
Then don't.
Disgusting. Disgusting. I can't believe on my daughter's birthday that you would drag my name through the mud like this. You are disgusting. Do you understand? That's fine because the public saw who I voted out and it was you. And we'll get you out again. So that's cute. That's real cute. That's cute. That's cute. Real cute.
Okay. There's more. We have another part of this. I don't know if maybe we should save it for the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I think my daughter's birthday. I think I think this is another easy one. I think my daughter's. I mean, even just that short bit, like every part of that. Not because sometimes fights they get a little repetitive. So there's like one good moment, and I think there are some in here that are a little bit like that. There's one good moment, like on my daughter's birthday, and it's like, oh, that was a great moment. But this is so tightly packed with just fantastic. You're a bold faced.
You are a bold.
Disgusting.
You got Tyler wandering around, even though it was all his fault. You got Caitlin wandering around, like, who's lying? I don't know who's lying. Like, it's just, it's a mess. It is like, we love Rockstar. Rockstar, I love you, sis. But the thing that makes just this so funny is just like, nobody cares that it's your daughter's birthday. Like, why is that the thing that is so upsetting to you? Be mad that you were being lied on. You know, the hell with your daughter's birthday. I'm sure that your daughter's a lovely human being. And happy birthday.
Yeah. That's a great day, Amon. That's like, you know, it'll be like a couple of weeks from now. BB Twitter is like, it's Rockstar's daughter's birthday today.
It is now a
holiday.
A brother holiday, for sure. For sure. But yeah. that has always been to me just like the most funny thing about all of this. It's just so funny.
There's just something about birthdays, I think, that really just bring out the fight. Even in Survivor, it just brings out the fight sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for this one, this matchup, 14 versus 3, that it does seem like this is going to be another slam dunk for Rockstar's daughter's birthday.
I think so.
Okay. Yep. All right. You're moving on. Okay.
Thank you, Rockstar.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Let's get into now our 13-4 matchup. Okay, these matchups might be a little bit more evenly matched now as we move along. Okay, Taryn, I have to go to you for the setup here for this BB21 moment that you chronicled once upon a time in great detail.
Yes. Well, I did both, to be fair. So, but I think you're probably leaning toward I believe it was day 44.
Mm-hmm.
The feeds went down for the evening. Now there'd been some exciting things going on. There had been some drama, some potential shifts in the vote. The thing that really just drove it home is that after the feeds went down, we actually got, a leak, first and only live feed leak. We even saw Julie like prepping for the live show from a person who was just like, yeah, I've gotten these for years. And this one was just really great. So I needed to share it. Said person, I believe, has vanished off of the face of the earth. I think CBS kidnapped them or something along those lines. But this fight, it's one of those ones that it just lasts a really long time. And the thing that really kind of kicks it off is that it's Kat versus Sam on the block. Kat has volunteered for the block on Holly's HOH. And as we know, they had secretly known each other, prior to entering the game. And because Kat is now on the block, this information, it gets out. Jackson, he kind of leaks the information a little bit. And Tommy goes to Christy and he says, they know each other. And they might need to flip the vote on Kat. And it just starts this massive spiral of chaos as, people are starting to get into arguments. Kat is denying it. Holly's denying it. Sam is running around. The six shooters are just like at each other's throats. All the tension that had been building, they all just start pointing at each other. And it's just pure chaos.
Okay, here we go. From the leaked feeds. Okay, this Big Brother 21 moment.
Jack, that you guys know each other.
That who knows each other?
You and Kat.
I can't even process the fact that Mickey would tell Jack that Kat and I do know each other.
Do you want to have a conversation or you just want to go back and forth
no,
and get
liars?
I'll
Get louder if you want to get louder.
If you want to yell at a girl, that's fine.
Guys, yell at a girl. Okay,
I'm not
so,
yelling.
No, let's not get louder.
Right,
I'm not
I'm
yelling.
So disrespectful.
I'm,
to do I'm disrespectful to women. How many people are you going to
say? This has nothing to do with gender or anything.
No, he just said, if you want to get loud, I'll get louder. I'm not loud. I'm saying that apparently it's said that after today there is no more six and that Tommy and Sis can't be trusted, I can't be trusted, and we are splitting. Like, you clearly all know each other. You, Kat, and you, Kat.
You, Kat, and you all know each other.
You went to Stagecoach together. You made a comment in here.
Oh, my God. Are you joking?
You guys know each other. You guys know each other coming into this game.
I actually hope you're...
No, because...
Then do I know Sis, too?
I know. You don't know Sis.
Stagecoach with Kat.
Well, you guys obviously do have a final three.
Do you think me, Kat, and Holly know each other?
Yep.
You're obviously upset right now, and that's fine.
I'm upset
too, because I feel like everyone is coming and saying that you have this major thing with me that is news to me because you literally brought me coffee this morning. So, surprise to me.
Can I not be a decent person?
Well,
can I not
but
separate
you're not
person
being
from
a decent person if you're making me coffee and then on me to everyone in this house.
I'm not on you. I'm actually
it's
doing
so
the opposite.
Inauthentic.
I'm actually doing the opposite.
Relax, everyone.
I'm doing the opposite. When I'm seeing you cry and I want to bring you coffee in the morning, forgive
all right, me. All right, everybody, guys.
All right, okay.
Now, Amon, this moment is actually up against another moment from Big Brother 21. It's a Big Brother 21 standoff.
Yeah. How can any of us really forget Taco Tuesday? Am I right? I mean, look, Christy's back was up against the wall. Christy had been doing, to Christy's credit, she really was quite a force on Big Brother 21. And she did not want to just go out quietly. So she felt like the only thing that she could do was to throw Nick entirely under the bus. She felt bad about it because, you know, she never really had a poor relationship with Nick. Nick was counting on the fact that he had a pretty decent relationship with Christy, that he would never do something like this. But boy, was he blindsided on Taco Tuesday when she decides to just blow his entire game up and he's left pretty much defenseless, having to, you know, fight against her the entire way through. And everyone is just there to eat not only the tacos, but this fight up. And it was great.
Okay.
It was a great time.
All right. Let's hear the clip and then we'll talk more about Taco Tuesday.
Day 33, I was in there. You told me three things. One, you don't want to go to Six with Showmances.
Yes.
Two, that you don't like Mickey and he's not a good person. And
yes,
three, which, I said, don't get Nicole. And you said, no, Nicole will take a shot at Jack. I don't need to use the veto. Let's go. Day 33, I can't.
That never happened. Yes, I said I didn't want to go to the end of Two Showmances.
I'm honest about everything I've ever fucking done, and you're not.
Nick,
manifest the truth, bro.
Okay, you're just going to.
Manifest the truth.
Over and over.
Yeah, because please, for me.
Okay, Taryn, I know you have a lot to say about Taco Tuesday.
Yes, it's definitely. I think the thing about Taco Tuesday versus Day 44 is that Taco Tuesday it's more condensed. It's more of a like a fight. It's between two people. It's very strategically like they're both fighting for their lives here. I think the thing about Day 44 is that it has that like extra special, the leaked feeds kind of situation, very unique case. But in terms of a fight, I don't know if it matches up against Taco Tuesday. Manifest the truth, bro, is a pretty catchy catch line. And it is kind of, as I was saying before, it is kind of one of those ones where it's like, that's the main line you remember from Taco Tuesday is manifest the truth, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And even Christy's sick of it in the moment.
Yeah.
She's like, you just keep repeating the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good. And I think one of the things that makes Taco Tuesday work is the fact that similar to Keisha's birthday, everyone's very excited about Taco Tuesday. They've all got their tacos. There are some people that are pretending to eat tacos. Mm-hmm. And like everybody's got like a reaction on their face as this is all going down.
Amon, Taco Tuesday has, I think, better branding than, we don't even know what to call this, Day 44. They know each other. We didn't even hear they know each other in the clip that we listened to.
Yeah.
I mean, the catchphrase.
It does have the catchphrase. It is more condensed. It's just the two of them going back and forth.
Has the emoji built in?
It does. I'm struggling. Do I like it more than Day 44? Because Day 44, you had to be there. And maybe that counts against it, because if you weren't there that night, if you weren't on Twitter that night and you missed everything, you weren't a part of the of the hype of it all. But it really was something special.
Yeah.
I mean, Taron had to like get on his Twitch, like unofficially. There was like this whole like thing just going down. It was the way in which we acquired the feeds.
Yeah, so just to reset that, it was like that because they do like a camera test, and this is like back in the day of when they used to have like a live audience for this is pre-COVID, this is 2019, right? And so that they would do like an East Coast like live stream test like to the affiliates, and somebody recorded what was happening like over and then posted this whole thing to YouTube, Taron?
It might have just been like a Dropbox drop.
Yeah,
to be honest.
It was okay. A bio.
Yeah. And then somebody, and then you had to like get the link and watch it. And then they did the Sunday night episode, and then they showed a lot of this. Julie.
The Julie clip was in that as
well? Yeah, she was like, okay, audience, I just want to let you know. This is a very exciting night. A lot of stuff is going on.
The most emotion we've seen from her in years. Like, I had never seen Julie so entrenched with the feed like that before. Like, I was like, oh my God, this was like an entirely new season tonight. Like, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking about all of that, and I'm putting it up against Taco Tuesday, and I'm just like, I don't know.
And also that, correct me if I'm wrong, Taron, that, like, you know, the first 43 days of this season were so bad.
Yeah. I mean, this was, it was a turning point in the season. I think that they're, like from this point forward, you started to see some redeeming qualities to the season, not many. But this was one of them. This was like definitely like a big moment of like, we actually got something here.
Yeah. The back half of the season, much better than the first half of the season.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was also really cool to just sort of see Christy sort of masterfully flip that week to get Nick out of there, because it succeeded. Like, Nick was totally flustered. And even though Nick was pretty much, you know, giving all of his points, he had a lot of valid points, but he just couldn't out-argue Christy. And that was really, really cool to see. So,
yeah. This is our first really tough one here, BB21 versus BB21.
Yeah, I think for me, like, yes, day 44, it's a unique experience. It was great in the moment. I don't know if it translates as well in the long term. I think it was kind of a you had to be there kind of thing. Whereas Taco Tuesday, I think, is a little more timeless. I think it stands the test of time a little better. And if somebody were to go back and watch these two fights, I think they'd probably enjoy Taco Tuesday more because they don't have that like firsthand experience of what it was like to see it live. So for me, I think for those reasons, I would put my vote in for Taco Tuesday.
All right,
Tuesday.
That's a vote for Taco Tuesday, the 13 seed. Aman.
I think I have to go with day 44 here.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I hate to do this, but I think I have to go for it because there's just more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
There's like so much tea being spilled. Like, I mean, like Sam and Jess and Nicole are like all pretending to do their makeup in the bathroom or whatever, and they're hearing all this stuff coming from the lounge area, and their faces are just like dropping. They're like, what? Like, it's just, and like, of course, like I don't think it ever makes the edit, but we do get to see Jackson come around and say, are you not entertained? After already leaving the argument and then coming back to rejoin the fray. I just feel like what makes some of the most iconic fights for me are ones that involve multiple people. It's very reminiscent of Big Brother 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's kind of where I'm more at with Big Brother.
Oh my God.
So what are you going to do, Rob?
All right.
So that, admittedly, when I was throwing this to Taron, I thought the 4 seed was Taco Tuesday. And I thought the 13 seed was going to be They Know Each Other. And then actually, like, it turns out it was the other way around. In my mind, I thought Taco Tuesday was the one that was going to be the higher seeded one.
Well, I guess
then,
we know what Mike Bloom's vote was.
What Mike Bloom's vote was. To me, like, if we're talking through like the fun fight, I feel like I'm going to say Taco Tuesday here. because I feel like that is like the argument
manifest
where
that's the truth, bro.
The day 44 stuff is just sort of like it's such a long saga. And I feel like that Taco Tuesday is a little bit more condensed into this specific fun fight, like a taquito.
Just like a taco.
Wrapped up all in one container. Yeah. And so, yeah, and it's actually one of the few fights that we've talked about that's really like back and forth. It's not just a one-sided fight. So yeah. I'm going to say Taco Tuesday.
Nick, that's a lie. I got to be honest with you. Oh my God, it's not, bro. God.
Yeah.
She loves effing talking, bro. She loves effing talking.
So Taco Tuesday, the first upset of the bracket advances 13 over a 4.
All right.
Okay. All right. Let's go to our 5-12 matchup. Okay. All right. 5-12 matchup. And Amon, do you want to set up our first entry from BB16? The 12 seed.
Okay. So this is going to be Zach versus Devin. This is, what is it? What ceremony is this after, Taryn? Do you remember? Is this after?
I think it's the veto ceremony.
Okay. And Pow Pow remains on the block. She is the intended target. But after the whole veto ceremony goes down, this is after Devin has already blown up the alliance.
Devin had been looking to target Zach, and Derek had to put out those fires. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now Zach finds out about all of that and decides to then blow up Devin's game even further. And then his number one ally, Frankie, even catches a couple strays in this because Zach is just all over the place. And it's just, it's beautiful. And he's even throwing shots at Pow Pow, who's already on the way out. And Pow Pow can't even like do anything but like agree. Like, yeah, that's fine with me. Like, it's just like, it's a mess. It's just a total mess.
Okay. All right. Let's hear the clip of Zach versus Devin.
I might have to blow up some other people's game. Frankie, don't feel threatened. Pow, you suck at everything. Straight up. It's no big deal.
It's true.
Devin, there's not an ounce of truth in your body. So there's no chance in hell I'm going home, letting you know that now. Every single person on this couch, I know you're going to vote for me. I'm not worried. People on this couch, I'm not really sure at this point. Frankie, I don't really know, but I really hope you vote for me. Caleb, not so sure either. But all you guys know in this room, I'm not going home. Devin, your personality changes with the blow of the wind. I'm going after you. Everyone in this house should be going after you too.
Yep. Who with me?
No one is ever going to vote for you in the jury. All he does is smile with his fake smile. And I'm just like ranting on about how much I hate Devin. But you're a huge liar, dude. You called a house meeting, crying over your daughter. I would never compromise my honesty or integrity for any amount of money. And you do just that every single day since.
Perfect, dude.
So what's your response to that?
Best of luck to you, bud.
All right, touche.
Some great sound design there, Taryn.
Yeah. Pow Pow gets in on it too, which is very fun. I think this is definitely like a fun one. I think that I think that at this point in time, there's still hope in the world for Big Brother 16.
In a lot of ways, yeah. Yeah.
I think like Devin being the very like best of luck, dude, like perfect response. But I do think there is some criticism that we could throw in here. Like, this was kind of set up ahead of time. You know, there's not a lot of back and forth. It is kind of like a performative Zach situation. So I think that it does have a couple of demerits here.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, we're literally witnessing how, because I mean, we know the season that came prior to this, right?
Yep.
And so I feel like a lot of the house guests this season were a little bit, you know, kumbaya. And even during this altercation, so many of them are like cringing, watching Zach just like, why? Like, no, this is not how this game should be played. We shouldn't be blowing each other up. We should be singing and dancing around a campfire. Like, what's going on? Like, no one wanted to be involved. Like, Frankie was just distraught with Zach after this. Like, I cannot believe that you would have done this. Like, this is insane to me. So it really didn't, like, no one really kept it going except Zach and Papa. But, you know, Zach is a one-man show. So, hey, the fact that this even made it with, you know, just Zach being the main showman, hey, a testament to Zach as a character.
All right. Well, let's talk about who the 12 seed is going to face. And, Taryn, believe it or not, we're back to BB10.
Look, it's a top tier season for a reason. This one is going to be the magna cum laude fight. So this one is, of course, post the biggest event.
This picture of Jerry is hilarious.
No, there's better ones too. because this one extends on, and this extends into Jerry, like with the pointing. But as we saw with the Makisha's birthday fight, where Jesse was involved, Jesse ends up getting blindsided, and half of the house is pissed. And they just get into, I mean, it's a big fight. Jerry's involved. He's yelling. He's later going to call, Dan, you're always going to be Judas in my house. You're going home. And honestly, I think unfortunately we can show the video, but, the funniest part of this, fight to me is a visual component. You'll probably hear it in this clip when Keisha and Libra just walk in side by side into the argument, just like perfectly on cue.
Not afraid of you.
It's just one of those things. Again, not too much to set up. They're just upset at the thing that just happened, and I think you just have to hear it from there.
Okay, let's listen to the clip from BB10.
That's not my problem. If you took offense to it, and you guys can come over here, you don't have to hide.
You're going home!
Hey, good job you swore on your children, you bitch!
I didn't swear on my children!
Yes, you did, and they're...
Dan?
No, I did! You did!
No, I did!
Yes, you did!
No, I did!
What you said!
No, I did! I didn't swear on my kids!
And so did
Jesse! I didn't swear on my kids about Jesse! No, I did!
Yeah! Okay!
You don't care about your kids, you don't even want a letter from them!
I'm glad you're going home, dummy!
I'm not dumb. Last time I checked, I graduated from Rice University.
With low honor.
Yeah, magna cum laude. Look it up.
Come on, baby, I love it.
You can say anything you want. I don't care.
Michelle,
I don't care.
I'm just telling the facts.
I don't care.
I don't care. I'm talking to Jerry.
Oh, you didn't do nothing for me.
Oh, he needs to give me a break.
I saw there was a tweet that was going around, was a week or two ago, that it's like Big Brother needs to start putting cracked old people back on the show.
They really do. Like, this is just, it's just so good. It's just so good. And a little bit before that, between Michelle and Rennie, like, Michelle was just so happy to have won HOH. She was so happy. She's just like, yeah, like Rennie was like making fun of me last night because I was studying, and Rennie takes offense to it because she feels like Michelle is like saying that she was trying to be offensive when she did it. And Rennie was like, I wasn't trying to be offensive. So they start going at it. And it's just like, Jerry, what is a low honor?
Low honors.
Like, aren't honors all
with low honors?
The bottom of the honors with honors, but like the worst ones.
With low honors. Magna cum laude. Look it up.
Oh my God.
And again, like as Amon pointed out, like the part where the audio dips, and that's Dan in a bed with a pillow over his face because he's expecting all this heat to come to him. And he's literally like poking his head out, like, they're all just fighting each other. Like, this is amazing.
It's just so good. The fact that, like, April was originally with the coven, and now she's, like, with Michelle because Michelle's HOH. And so Libra and Keisha are like, oh, so y'all want to be best friends? Like, this, the whole thing is just so, so good. So good.
Okay. All right. So I think we're all in agreement that we're sending through magna cum laude over Devin versus Zach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's a birthday slayer. Maybe it's magna cum laude.
Okay. All right. So magna cum laude will advance to the second round. Okay. Let's look at our 11 versus 6 matchup. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Who wants to set up the 11 seed from BB19?
I could take it.
Okay.
Or unless you want to, Taryn.
No, go ahead.
All right. So this is going to be between, I mean, if it's BB19, so I'm sure most of the audience can guess who was involved in this fight. Mr. Josh Martinez, my favorite winner of Big Brother ever, finds himself in a predicament with his should-be buddy, Mark. They're playing a game of pool, and they decide, oh, you know what? Like, if you do this rematch, whoever wins this one will have won, like, whatever tournament they had going on. Josh ends up scratching on the ball. Mark calls him out on it. Josh is like, no, I didn't. But, like, he really did, if you watch the clip. And so Mark is like, all right, then, you know, like, if you're gonna play that way, then I'm gonna play dirty with you. So he goes and grabs some condiments and right in Josh's face, and Josh gets really upset because it gets in his eye, and then it just turns into this whole thing.
Okay, all right, let's go back to Mark versus Josh.
You might want to move. That's a coward move. Hug it out. I have hot sauce. No, I have hot sauce in my eye and in my nose. That's fucked up. You should have drank it. No, I'm not playing with you.
You threw ketchup and mayo. You just put this all over me. Out of my face. Why are you so upset?
I'm not playing. You threw hot sauce in my eye.
You didn't beat
me.
Fall
the back.
Why are you getting so upset, Josh?
You're a coward.
Look at this.
That's why I don't talk to you, because you can't take it. So if it's a fair game, let it be a game, but don't cross the line.
Okay. It's good. No, you're done.
Taryn, what was the connection between the pool game and condiments?
I believe that didn't Josh, because Josh like sprayed some condiments on
Josh initiated
Mark first.
Yeah.
And then Mark retaliated with what may or may not have been hot sauce.
Oh yeah, you know what it was? They did a bet. They were like, whoever wins has to take a shot of hot sauce. And Josh was saying that he didn't like. Josh was like, he scratched on the eight ball, and so Mark was like, you need to drink this hot sauce now. He's like, no, I'm not drinking it. I didn't lose. And so he goes in and gets the hot sauce and then throws it. It's like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this in my eyes, this is one of the dumbest Big Brother fights of all time. It's literally over a game of pool.
It's so stupid. And Josh, much as I love him to bits, he was just so out of pocket here. Like, yes, I understand, like, getting
like
so
the
upset.
Cue ball.
Yeah. I understand, like, when the fight takes a turn because you're in pain, like, you have, like, stuff in your eyes that like, you get irritated really quickly. I understand all that. But this whole thing could have been avoided if you had just admitted that you had just scratched on the eight ball. Like, come on. Like, if you're going to play a game, then be fair. Be fair. That's it.
Okay. All right. So, for the second time, we have season on season violence. Okay. BB19 is taking on BB19. Taryn, this time we're going to the BB19 jury house.
Yes. So obviously, look, the condiment fight, like I said, very dumb. Now we're going to get into some gameplay. All right.
Okay.
We have Raven. Mastermind, puppet master.
For sure.
Raven heads up, she ends up going to the jury house. And, unfortunately for her, just like she got very unlucky, you know, one of those things, probably twisted out, something like that. And she's explaining the game to the rest of the jurors, basically. She's like, look, here's what was happening. I was pulling some strings with Paul. He was loyal to me and Matt, and they're not understanding. You know, they're like, oh, no, Paul was working with us, too. And she's like, yeah, but he was really working with us. And they're like, so why are you sitting here? And she's like, oh, because, you know, bad luck. And then this is a saga, you know, it starts with that and it builds. So then, the next, when Alex comes into the jury house, and she learns from the rest of the jury, because they really, again, they're very bitter toward, Raven. She really outplayed all of them. And so they start describing to Alex, like, hey, this is what was Raven saying that she's a puppet master. She's like, what are you talking about? And it gets into a fight about Paul and whether Paul was doing well or doing poorly. And it all kind of culminates in the round table. When Kevin shows up and they all just go at it.
Okay, here we go. Let's go out to the BB19 jury house.
I just want to say, just so we can address this real quick, these two claim to be the puppet masters.
I see you guys have been having fun here without me. I'd like to go back to the other house.
Well, we
please.
Would be having fun if it wasn't for these two.
What the f***?
So bitter.
Did Matt and I do to you in the game? I just really want to know that, Jason. What are we doing? We're in our own little world.
Yeah, that is no...
Yeah, ignoring your ass...
Thank God.
So what did we do to you in that house? I'd love to know.
I've never heard somebody say they were a puppet master and win nothing.
What did you win besides throw condiment on Josh?
I didn't fight for my safety once in a row.
Did you win HOH?
Two vetoes, two safety.
You want to know why you're here? Because all you did was fight with everyone in the house.
You guys did absolutely nothing but play house in the freaking Big Brother house. And then you want to say you're Big Brother puppet master.
I was playing a great soul.
And just like how good you feel about the game you played blows my mind.
Why are you such a... That is probably your middle name.
Okay.
It's just Gordon.
It's just... I just don't... Like, you say puppet master. Like, you contributed to the game, and it just bugs me as a competitor and as a Big Brother fan.
I was helping Paul pull strings.
Everybody was.
Yes.
I didn't.
Respect, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Who says I didn't, Mark?
Cody,
yeah. Okay. All right. This is going to be tough. BB19 versus BB19.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think this was kind of easy mm-hmm. for me because I think this because this is a through line throughout the entire jury house segment, and I feel like it culminates in the jury roundtable, as Terrence said before. So definitely, I think I'm going to lean towards... Matt Raven versus the world.
Yeah, I'm with Amon as well. I feel like Raven the Puppet Master is probably the best thing to come out of Big Brother 19. So
yeah, it's a highlight for me as well. So yeah, all right. Raven and the Puppet Master moves on. Mm-hmm. Sorry to Mark and Josh. Okay, so Raven moves on to round two. All right. We have now our, this is our 7-10 matchup. Okay. All right. Amon, could you set up the 10 seed argument between Bo and Janelle?
So I forget who betrayed who, but the sovereign. Four at that point were coming under fire and Janelle was pissed. I think this was the week that Janelle and Kaser were about to be split up, I believe. And Janelle is just antagonizing anybody that walked by in the kitchen, attacking Maggie, and then Bo walks by. And so Janelle had already been having a couple of sips of wine, and so she's just saying what's on her mind. And Bo is not having it. And the two of them go back and forth. It was so funny to me is the two of them are like such great friends now. And even during this fight, they're laughing as they're fighting. I'm just like, so are y'all mad? Like, what is going on here? And the fact that like Kaser has to get up because once he finds out that Janelle and Bo are fighting, he's like, oh my God, here we go again. Like, and Kaser's the one that is in jeopardy here. It's just, it's so fun. It's so fun.
Okay. Let's go to the clip here. This is Bo versus Janelle.
Gold digging little whore.
No,
not Lisa. You certainly are, Bo.
You are.
You're a whore. Bo gets out of control when he drinks.
Janelle's walking around the house like a diva, and they're pretty much telling the truth about each other, but no drunk wants to hear the truth about themselves.
That is true.
Oh, I am! You know, I'm not you, I'm Ferrari!
What's going on in there?
Don't touch me.
Okay.
So good.
Taryn, how is Bo versus Janelle for you?
You know, it's obviously a classic moment. I think a little bit of an overuse of the same word over and over, perhaps. I think like even the show kind of recognized that it's more about like the fact that it's happening than let's not actually sit with it for too long. Mm-hmm. Let's just get reactions to it.
Let's get some confessionals. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think Amon has a point as well where it's like, it probably sounds worse than it looks, because they do look less angry. But it does sound pretty bad.
Yeah. Because normally, you know, like touching each other is usually a no-no. Like when it comes to Big Brother, like Big Brother will usually jump in immediately if there's like some physical altercation. But the fact that the two of them are literally like pushing each other and they're like laughing about it in production is just like probably just sitting there watching like, oh, look at Bo and Janelle. Like this is probably don't need to take this seriously. It's just so funny to me. And I just love the fact that Janelle is being so infantile. She's like, this the whole like teasing voice, like, you date older men. Like, really, Janelle? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Anytime like adults use like so that sort of like sing song teasing, like, you know, right. Things have like gone way out of line.
It's gone. They're gone.
Okay. All right. Now, this was just incredible that this has happened again, Taryn, because we have another BB6 moment. BB6 versus BB6. Can you tell us about the 7 seed? I sealed your partner's fate.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think this is an easy one for me where like you can definitely see where like my perspective is on fights that I enjoy. Yeah. But I definitely think this qualifies as a fight. Basically, this is like the turning point of the entire season, or one of the turning points of the entire season. It's the first big sort of like strike back, the reveal, the sort of like, the Sovereign Six is kind of born. And basically, the whole thing is to set up Kaser's HOH, and he's going to set it up so that Cappy is going to go home. And they're playing a veto competition that allows them to work together to make sure that James wins so that he can replace James with Cappy. But Maggie thinks it's to target her. And so after the veto competition, once it all goes down, they're all pissed. The friendship is pissed. Maggie confronts Kaser. And long before Frenchie ever entered the house, Kaser says, "No, you were just bait. I caught the bigger fish." And she says, "No, you sealed my fate with that veto." And he says, No. "I sealed your partner's fate." And they're going back and forth. And again, there is more to this. Cappy comes out. He starts getting into it with Kaser. And they fight for Cappy's like, "Look me in the eye. Look me in the eye and tell me you didn't tank that veto competition." Can't do that. "Look me in the face. Look me in the face and tell me you're not going to put me up right now." I don't know, man. there's some great moments to this, but obviously like the big moment is I sealed your partner's fate. This is one of my favorite moments of the whole show.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's listen to the clip of BB6.
"But you know, the game just got really nasty."
"I'm not lying. I know exactly what's going on."
"I know you do."
"You guys tried to pin me against the corner the first couple of weeks. I'm the outcast. Everyone did. I told myself, like, HYG, I'm going to flip this thing upside down. That's what I did. It's the only way I get respect around here."
"Or make people not like you even more, though."
"I don't dislike anybody. I'm just playing the game now."
"Yeah.
And I
don't blame you for that.
I just didn't think I was going to be the target of your game this early on.
You're not the target. You're the bait.
So you sealed my fate.
No. I sealed your partner's fate.
It's great dialogue.
The quiet intensity of Kacer. So good.
Yeah. What's better? I sealed your partner's fate, or you date older men? Which is the more iconic line?
Well, you know what I want.
One might go to Rob.
Yeah. Maybe had Kacer said, "I sealed your partner's fate." Yeah. This is interesting because these are so different.
They're so different. Yeah, I appreciate them both for different reasons.
One is like so petty, and the other is like so serious. It's really like we have like dumb fights, and then we have like game related fights. And this matchup is like the microcosm of that.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like we just did this with VB19, where one was so petty and one was a little bit more strategic. I mean, I don't know how strategic can be when talking about Wick Raven.
I think they're both pretty silly. I think
they're both pretty silly, but I don't know. I think I might be willing to just give this to Kacer because it's just so iconic. Like, it was in his intro package. Whenever he came back for Big Brother 22,
they built the challenge, Amon, in Big Brother 22 about this.
Right.
And something I think that doesn't come across super well in the audio is that, like, when he says that, like, that's part of it. Like, it's a whisper fight here. He says that and she's just struck. Like, she's speechless. She doesn't know what to say. She goes back in. Then she starts. They're going after you, Cappy. And then that's when Cappy comes out and it gets more explosive.
Right.
But the fact that he just shuts it down with that line is just so good. Like, that's, to me, it's still a fight just because he was so good that she couldn't even come back at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree. You sold me on it. Sorry, Janelle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to see. I sealed your partner's fate. Move on to round number two. All right. One last first round matchup. Okay. This is the 9-8 matchup.
Oof.
Okay. All right. Taryn, why don't you talk to us about the 9 seed from Big Brother 3?
Yes. This is one of my favorites. This is Danielle Reyes. There was an issue. There was an issue because in Big Brother 3, Jerry, he liked to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't always wash his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty nasty. And, I feel like that's about as much setup as we need.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. We have the somewhat longer. We have two versions of this. Let me start with the let's just go look, we have nothing until Tuesday. Let's do the longer cut.
It was so juvenile to me, and I lost it. I completely lost it.
Remember, guys, Lori?
We're running our fingers through our hair. We are so glamorous in this house.
Can we pause?
Yes, and then Lori goes, guys, what's the big deal?
To set this up, so I believe at this point, Danielle has talked about Jerry's lack of washing hands, and Lori takes offense on behalf of Jerry. That how dare she do this to him?
And she's on the block too. Kind of a bold stance to take. Yeah,
so stupid. And it's like it's not. It's a bold stance to take on the block, and it's just a bold stance to take in life. Why are you capping for the guy that doesn't wash his hands? That what you want to die on, sis? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go back to Lori.
Oh my God, I feel glamorous. Can I help you with the meat? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't discuss the things I see, the little idiosyncrasies I see in the individuals in this house.
So call him in here and yell at him.
Yeah, do it right now.
I think you guys should.
Do it
should.
Right now. I think you should.
I need entertainment
What I want you to do. That's what I want to see. Oh, yeah, right now. This place. Come on, I dare you.
That girl lost her ever-loving mind. Come on.
Who's the spokesperson? Who started it? Who's the first person that brought this up? It was you, right?
And that's when I erupt. I got ghetto fabulous.
He came out the freaking bathroom and he did not wash his nasty hands. And it's disgusting. I said it. I said it. I sure did. Go ahead and get it right now.
Darn right. I was so angry. And I opened up the door and I said, Jerry, they got something they want to talk to you about.
Oh, all right. What's going on?
You coming back?
Wait. How did this get so fired up and out of control?
How did it get so two-faced?
It's not two-faced. What's black and white? You do it or you don't do it. Perfect. It's not something about being two-faced.
I felt bad because I shouldn't let Lori get the best of me.
Bring it on. Do it.
Jerry, sit down. We have an issue. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Come on, Jerry. Sit down. I want to talk to you.
Okay. So we have our BB3 hand washing fight that is going to be taking on the 8 seed, Davon and Pauly at the jury house.
I don't like this one. I don't like this matchup. This is not fair.
Okay. All right. Amon, do you want to set up this battle from the BB18 jury house?
My beloved Davon.
Yes.
I mean, I have been such a fan for so long, and this entire jury segment is a huge reason why. Now, I will have a little bit of a disclaimer. I think towards the later part of this fight, it does get a little nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest fan of the fight as it finishes. But in the beginning, I feel like Davon just provided us such great catharsis in regards to Pauly when he entered the jury house. We have been waiting for somebody to let him have it. And it was justified too, because he was the reason that she ended up out of the house. He was the reason that Zakiya ended up out of the house. He was the reason that Bridget ended up out of the house. Like, and now he has to come for his chicken to roast. Like, it was just perfect. And Davon was just sitting there waiting for it all. And the thing that I love the most about this entire thing is that she let Zakiya do it first. She was like, I'm gonna let Zakiya handle this first because she's the one that got screwed over here. Like, I'm gonna let her. And then as soon as Zakiya was done, I was like, all right, my turn. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. So I loved it.
Okay.
I love it.
Here's Pauly and Davon.
Pauly, you gotta be at least 6 feet to talk to me. Shut the hell up. Let's play the damn thing. Get the hell out of here.
Davon, you are so classless. And
I am very classy. I am very classy. I'm very classy. Pauly, you are an arrogant. And I do know that you only talk down to women. I ain't heard you buck up to a man yet.
Oh, really?
I ain't heard you buck up to a man yet.
Were you in the rooms when I was at James Bro?
Because I ain't a mingle and I ain't a punk. Don't ever get it twisted.
Davon.
Okay.
Whew. Yeah.
There's a lot there. Yeah.
I feel like, you just never want to touch somebody's kids. Like, it's an argument between you and Davon. You guys are locked in a house playing a game. Tempers are going to flare. You know, your agendas are not always going to line up. It just needs to end there. It doesn't have to extend into the family, because if she had brought up your dad or something, or your brother or whoever, like, you would have had words for her. So let's just keep it on the field. Keep it cute.
Right.
But yeah, exactly. Keep it cute. But everything leading
real
up to
cute
that was real cute. I do love the moment in this particular altercation where, because they're on the couch and Bridget is like clapping in between the two of them, like cheering on Devon the whole time. And Devon just needs to get a little closer to Polly. So she's like, excuse me, Bridget. And like moves Bridget out of the way and like sits on Bridget's foot. So Bridget can't even like move out of the way. It's like, it's just pure comedy. It's so funny.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a case where it's like, we're here for Devon. Polly, you know, made it a little weird at the end there. So, you know, I think it does make it weird.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think his existence usually makes things weird. But I mean, I think the same is kind of true of the Danielle clip where it's like, we're here for Danielle, like, you know, reading it to Jerry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I feel like, you know, this is, most fun fights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some great moments in that last clip, but I feel like that the premise of fighting over did Jerry wash his hands is like, is so dumb. You can't believe like, and it's quaint, you know, that this is like 20-year-old clip, that people are fighting over, does he use the sink when he comes out of the bathroom, as opposed to bringing kids into it. So I'm mm-hmm. leaning more towards the BB3, fight advancing.
That's where I am too. But then I think of that line. This is the one you lay with.
That has the best line. That is the best line.
So good. Mm-hmm. It's, when I saw these two together, I was like, no.
Yeah, why are we pitting two strong women against each other? Mm-hmm. You know, I am happy that Devon made an appearance on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's always going to be my favorite. But to better appease the criteria for tonight, I think I will have to go with you two and give it to Miss Danielle Reyes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
I think all the honorable mentions here, though, to Devon. I think, you know, we got Point Blank in the period. We got This Is the One You Lay With. I think that, you know, she definitely has a spot here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the Big Brother 3, Wash Your Damn Hands, moves on to round number 2.
I said it. Go ahead and get them right now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So let's bring in our bracket here for the first time tonight. And so I didn't want to spoil anything from the list, but now we can see at least who is up against what. And I think I can go full screen here. And so we are able to, instead of starting with 1-8, can we go? What's that fourth matchup that's there? Let's go from the bottom up. Let's do 3-6 and then 2-7. Okay. So Rockstar's daughter's birthday versus Raven, the puppet master here in our 3-6 matchup. So interesting. I had said I had a second clip from Rockstar's daughter's birthday. Let's go ahead and let's play that here. Okay. Let's go back to the night that Rockstar was accused of what was it? She was accused of voting for Brett.
Trying to flip the vote. Yeah.
Trying to flip the vote. Okay.
Brett is the house. He's my best friend. Oh, I'm so happy. Don't talk about his micro penis. Hey, it's Brett. It's Brett. 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 So happy he's here. We have a secret showman. What a twist. He's actually my baby daddy. Yes, Brett. Oh, I'm so happy.
Setting a great example. You're doing good.
Thank you. I bet your mom is proud.
Oh, I bet your kids are. Good job.
So proud.
Setting a good example. Wow.
This is working beautifully. Rockstar's reaction is perfect. She has the mind of a child.
The best part about that is that, like, it completely backfires. Baute thinks that her including that like baby daddy line means that they do actually maybe have something going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a twist in that, you know, they're going back and forth of that. Okay. Real cute, disgusting to then like Rockstar turns it around to say, hey, actually this is my baby's daddy, everybody. But I have an announcement to make.
That's why she was so upset about the daughter's birthday. It's because mm-hmm. he knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's his daughter's birthday, too.
And then he cut maybe 3 hours later with Rockstar just completely defeated and dejected after having fallen off of the tree during the HOH ceremony and just no shot at HOH. Brett, I think, is still in the competition. Lash has fallen off. Like, she just had a whole night that night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, we've revisited Rockstar's daughter's birthday. Raven, the puppet master. Interesting to compare these two clips.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I feel like Raven as a puppet master, like she had her time to shine. I feel like she won a matchup. She put in a good performance, but just like what happened in Big Brother 19, just because you're the favorite coming in, just because you're the puppet master of the bracket doesn't mean that you're always going to win. And so I think for me, it's got to be Rockstar's daughter's birthday.
Aman, is this even close?
It's a little close for me only because Raven, I mean, she just keeps it going. She keeps up with it all the way until the jury roundtable. Like, she's like, she's probably the reason why Paul lost. Like, if we're being honest, like, Paul was horrible, but like, if there was any, there was no chance of garnering any goodwill with Raven in that jury. It was just never going to happen. So,
no, Aman, you don't understand. She was helping.
Paul is my buddy, buddy.
Oh my God, not that. Oh my God, I have repressed that. Oh man, okay. 19 or 20. Why am I always the one that's like having to make decisions on this podcast? Okay. I'll give it to Rockstar's daughters first.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely a little bit more just all encompassing. But Raven is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. I have to sweep it as well. That Rockstar's daughter's birthday is iconic. This has been fun to go back, and anytime we get the chance to talk about Raven, I'm up for it. But I think we have to advance the Rockstar's daughter's birthday.
You little punk! What are you going to do?
Yes. Shout out to what are you going to do?
Yeah. Did that get snubs?
Yes, I did. I think so. That's another one where it's like that moment, the what are you gonna do? That's very fun. The rest of it is just, it's not nearly as fun.
What is the backstory on that? Who is he mad at? Is he mad at Whistlenut? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like all of Paul's like twosomes are starting to fight with each other. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
All the voting blocks are fighting.
The blocks are fighting.
Fall is my butty butty.
Oh my God.
All right. So congratulations. So Angie Rockstar's daughter's birthday is moving to the final four. Okay. Let's go and take a look at the bracket here. Our 2-7 matchup, Rockstar's daughter's birthday is going to face Floaters Grab a Life Fest, the 2-seed, is going to face I Sealed Your Partner's Fate.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, Taryn, I'm going to just go ahead and say it, man. I don't think I can give it to Kacer here. I think Kacer is very representative of a certain age of Big Brother, and then I think it gets eclipsed by Rachel, who then represents the next one and is still kind of representing to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so iconic.
Yeah, I think for me, this is where those little bits of like, how much of a fight is it? Like, I think that's where it really starts to catch up to it. Again, similar to Puppet Master Raven for me, you know, Sealed Your Partner's Fate, good showing, won a matchup. I think, running into, Floaters Grab a Life Fest, you know, it just doesn't have the criteria down just as much as it needs to, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it represented here, but Floaters Grab a Life Fest is so strong. It'll be an interesting matchup against Rockstar's daughter's birthday in the final four. But for now, Floaters Grab a Life Fest will advance.
Kristen.
To the final four. Okay, let's go and take a look at our 5-13 matchup. Okay, the big upset from the first round, Taco Tuesday versus Magna Cum Laude.
Well,
yeah,
I would certainly love to have a degree over a taco. So get a degree, you can buy all the tacos you want.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna go BB's in.
Manifest that you're going home, bro.
Yeah.
You're going home.
This is a taco. One of the tougher decisions that we've had to make so far.
Not for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we know Amon's. Rob, how are you feeling?
I'm certainly leaning more towards the BB10 side of things. I'm trying to think of like any ways to that the similarities and differences between these two.
Well, I think, you know, this is similar to Keisha's birthday. This is a fight, magna cum laude. It's involving a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
ensemble cast.
Yes, it is definitely an ensemble. It's certainly less strategically focused. It's not for a particular reason like Taco Tuesday. It doesn't have the like event, that Taco Tuesday does. It doesn't have like the chorus of facial reactions. It just has Dan pretty much. But it does involve more people than with Taco Tuesday. It's got that Keisha's birthday vibe to it where it's like, we're all getting together for Taco Tuesday and you guys are ruining the vibe. It's like a family, holiday meeting thing, family dinner, and you're just ruining it by talking about game. And it's two people fighting for their lives. So they're very different kinds of fights, for sure.
Yeah.
So what's your answer? What's your answer, Taryn?
Well, I know my answer. I want to see if
I'm going to go with the BB10 fight. I mean, I think that was the one that, you know, we were like audibly laughing playing that one back. Whereas Taco Tuesday, you know, has the great branding, of course. But yeah, I think we have to give it to BB10.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So magna cum laude moves on. The first BB10 entrant in the final four. And so now we'll see the 1-9 matchup. And I think that we're going to actually have a BB10 facing off in the next round because can wash your damn hands knock off Keisha's birthday?
Man, I love Danielle so much. I wish Wash Your Damn Hands could have made it further here for me, but it's made against most other ones here. I think I would stump for Wash Your Damn Hands, but against Keisha's Birthday, like what can you do?
Not a fair fight.
Yeah. Not a fair fight at all.
Okay. All right. So we have our final four. And we have two clips from BB10 that are going to be facing off here in the final four, which is going to be Keisha's Birthday versus Magna Cum Laude. And then on the other side of the bracket, we have Floaters Grab a Life Vest versus Rockstar's Daughter's Birthday.
Man, this is getting tough.
Okay. All right. Mon, do you have one of the two sides of the bracket that you want to talk about first?
Let's just prolong having to fight about BB10. We can talk about Rockstar's Daughter's Birthday versus Floaters Vibrant Life Fest, which I'm kind of torn about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Big Brother fan in me is leaning towards Floaters Grab a Life Fest, but I'm also trying to be like, am I just doing it because it's already so established? Like, has Rockstar's Daughter's Birthday also given itself a good case?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it has. I feel like just the total juxtaposition in energy levels between Brett and Rockstar is just so funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that iconic quote from Rachel, I mean, it's so hard.
Mm-hmm. That's a great quote. It really became Rachel's signature quote that she would say a lot of time. But I feel like that just throwing out on my daughter's birthday, no matter what happens or the situation, that gets a laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would it help to hear the clips again?
Maybe.
Okay. All right, let me bring back the Floaters Grab a Life Vest clip, okay? And then we can do one of the rock stars' daughter's birthday clips, okay? Here is Floaters Grab a Life Vest.
Floaters, you better grab a life vest. Kristen, yeah, I'm such a floater. Really, what competitions have you won? And I heard you and Hayden making out last night.
What? You guys what? All why would put we ever do something so stupid in the room with you?
Why would I lie about that?
You know you didn't hear us making out last night. You're
yeah.
Why would we ever do that in the room with you?
Hey, you got busted. It's okay. Let it go.
Wow.
It's all right. No worries, guys. It's not a big deal.
Why do you ever try to hide something?
I think that we're smart enough to not do it around you.
Why?
Because you're so smart, Kristen.
Yeah,
I have a fashion degree.
Yeah.
And you are because you have a chemistry degree. String a sentence together without using the word like, will you? You have zero common sense. Zero.
Oh, I have no common sense.
Zero.
Two HOHs. Common sense.
Exactly. Just because you won two out of four is not that big of a deal.
Two HOHs, Kristen. You had just as much of a chance to win as I did, didn't you?
Yeah.
I did.
And you lost them both.
So
both.
What?
Wow. Don't wow anything, Kristen.
Why don't you grab a life vest because you're a floater and float on off because you're in dangerous waters, Kristen. I'm going to stay
See?
Here.
Okay.
Okay.
You're going to get you guys.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. Grab a life vest because you're a floater. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's how I know. All of the mental gymnastics that I have been doing for the past however many years to make this make sense, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I have to give it to Rockstar's Daughter's Birthday.
Wow. On.
I love that it's a fantastic quote, but it's a quote that does not make sense. And
are you trying to say that Rachel doesn't have common sense?
I'm saying that Rachel has no common sense. Zero.
But she has two HOHs.
And a chemistry degree.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I feel like...
making out.
She did.
She wasn't even there. She's only saying that because Andrew said it on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like that is a more iconic moment. It's more of a like, I mean, it's it's the cause of a false definition in the fan base. Like people still think of floaters as people that don't win competitions, largely because Rachel really like popularized it here. But in most fun fights,
yeah,
it's just, I mean, it's great and it's very fun. Right. And I love that she randomly brings up making out, and I love that she randomly goes off on Kathy. But it's so fun watching Rockstar talk about, disgusting on my and my daughter's birthday. And the fact that it was, yes, the fact that it was all real part cute. Of like a coordinated plan, and that that the Brett is just messing with her.
Yes,
it's just so fun. It's so fun. I have to go with Rockstar's birthday.
If we
birthday.
Were doing a list of the most iconic quotes from Big Brother, I feel like floaters grab a life vest. I feel like is there. It's in the final four there too, and maybe goes on to win.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But what that when we're talking about the fights, when we're talking about the fights and the fights being fun, you know, there's some laughable moments, but this you know, Rockstar's daughter's birthday is I think it's more fun.
I think underrated part of it too is that it happened live. on the eviction, like it was happening in front of, it was unfolding in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. I remember being on Twitter that night and being like, this is the moment for Big Brother 20. This is going to be it, and here we are, still talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Rockstar's daughter's birthday is going to go to the finals, where they will meet one of Big Brother 10's best moments. It is Keisha's birthday versus magna cum laude. Now, we had multiple clips from Keisha's birthday. Did we do a disservice to Keisha's birthday to only play one that I have also Jerry and Rennie, Jesse and Libra.
We should listen to Jerry and Rennie.
Okay. Boy, this is a Jerry versus Jerry matchup. Okay. All right. Let's go to Jerry and Rennie here from the Keisha's birthday.
They think this is great.
I don't care what they think.
Listen, will you shut up a minute?
Don't tell me to shut up.
Okay, now we're all guarding against each other. This is even better.
You have to stop talking to people like that.
Can you guys stop?
Talk to them.
You're sticking fingers in people's faces, damn it.
Okay, this
it's
is great.
It's inappropriate.
This is even better. Colonel, I'm listening to you real quickly. What did Memphis say?
I can't stand when he talks to a woman like that.
Who's that?
The Colonel.
What'd he do this time?
He better not put his finger in my face.
It's contagious.
I'll shove it down his throat. And he's talking about you. Yeah.
She runs
him. Making fun of everybody.
I'm not making fun of everybody.
So, Jesse, I don't know why he thinks that he's running around telling. He's got to go.
Memphis is the Colonel?
No, Jerry is the Colonel.
Jerry's the Colonel. Okay.
But so Jerry is ratting out Memphis for trash talking the argument that's happening because Jesse ratted out Keisha and Libra. And so Jerry, while ratting Memphis out, is saying, shut up for a minute. I need to tell you this. And then she gets upset about that. Rennie runs to Memphis and rats out Jerry for ratting out Memphis. It's just an endless chain.
Okay. Is it worth hearing magna cum laude again?
No, I don't need to hear it again. It's in my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I will say this. I think that the reason this is a little tougher than you might imagine is I do think that magna cum laude is more clippable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as a condensed clip, especially if you watch it flow like it's more easily digestible. It's shorter. It's more tightly packed. Keisha's birthday is sprawling.
I feel like we cheated when we heard the rendition of Happy Birthday the clip beforehand because I feel like we didn't do the work to lead up to that moment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's more difficult to convey Keisha's birthday in just a short little package. But man, when you play the full thing out, there's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. For me, I think there's just an artistry to Keisha's birthday that I don't know that the, like, magna cum laude, it's fast, it's action packed, it's flashy, it's you're going home. It's Keisha and Libra walking in. It's so good. But Keisha's birthday is like an art house film. It plays out like it was scripted. It's so good. And
shout out to Melissa Denny's drunk history of it also.
Yes.
Oh my God, I am so distraught about this.
Is it close for you, Iman?
It's very close. I didn't think it would be. I thought, you know, because we're just so used to pushing Keisha's birthday through. We're so used to talking about BB10 being the best season. We're just so, it's a script that we just know very, very well. But do I want to get rid of magna cum laude? Oh my God, she couldn't even say it. Mm-hmm. And the Michelle and Rennie altercation before that is just so funny. What are you saying? I laughed at you. No, I didn't. I don't take offense to it now. I just said, you know. Oh my God. Am I really about to say magna cum laude over Keisha's birthday? I feel like that's so blasphemous.
Mm-hmm.
Go with your gut. Is your gut full of cake?
Okay.
Yes.
I like your reasoning, Taryn, about how it's not as bite-sized as magna cum laude, but I still feel like that's part of what makes it so great. And Jesse is like an underreported instigator in there. Like he's mm-hmm. got some good...
One of my naps finally paid off.
Like he's mm-hmm. so good in it too. He's so good at it. Like, I think I have to just go with Keisha's birthday. And I know that's so cliche, but I just, and I'm so sad about Magna. I'm so sad.
It had a good run. It had a good run. And we don't want to be totally basic, but I think we have to.
Sometimes the classics are classics for a reason.
Keisha's birthday, which sets up an intriguing finals matchup. Birthday versus birthday.
Birthday v birthday.
Can
oh boy
the new hotness disrupt the classic birthday?
Season 10 versus season 20. I mean, mm-hmm. They're once in a decade fights, both of these.
Mm-hmm.
They're both birthdays. Keisha's birthday is now what, 12 years old?
Mm-hmm.
They're 14 years old. And I'm still stuck in, you know,
we found out that Keisha was going to be on Big Brother 22 on Keisha's birthday. Like, it's mm-hmm. just so. Time is a flat circle. What can I tell you?
Time is a flat circle.
Honestly, Keisha's birthday is probably the same age as Rockstar's daughter. I don't know. Who knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any way that Rockstar's daughter's birthday could be considered superior to Keisha's birthday?
I do think it's a tough. I think it's a tough argument. I think one of the things it has going for it, again, the live component. I think that's pretty good. You don't usually get something that good on a live show. Like, obviously, live feeds are fun. But to see it on a live show, on the episode, anything can happen. That's pretty wild. I think that one, that's definitely a point in Rockstar's daughter's birthday. I also think it's easier to follow.
Yeah.
I mean, like you can really understand what's happening without 20 minutes of context. And even with 20 minutes of context, it's a little difficult to follow Keisha's birthday.
Yeah.
So I think the storyline is a little cleaner there as well for Keisha, for Rockstar's daughter's birthday.
Also that, you know, Keisha's birthday has anybody want cake? But I do think that there are more quotable moments that come out of the
Rob, rock that's inappropriate.
Look, you know, years later,
disgusting.
You know, you could still, you could hear all of these rock star quotes. And then, not to mention when the whole second half.
Micro-penis!
I mean, that's what gets wild.
Cute. That's real cute.
Real cute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it has some things going for it. But, you know, for me, you just can't compete. I do think that for me, Magna Cum Laude is a tougher fight.
That's partly why I was so, because I was like, if there was Magna versus Rockstar's daughter's birthday, then maybe there's like
and it's just like, well, everything I talked about, it's like an art house film. It's a rare fight that really it involves almost every person in a house with a lot of people in the house. It is so unique in how it involves every single person. And I mean, obviously, like these are the basics. These are things that I think we take for granted when it comes to Keisha's birthday. But they're the basics of what makes it so fun, is that in the midst of a house-wide fight, because everyone can't help but rat each other out and tell each other to shut up and point fingers in people's faces, they're all like, guys, it's Keisha's birthday.
Right.
Let's all get back together and wish her and sing her a happy birthday. And it feels like for a moment that might have broken the tension. And everyone's like, I'm sorry I yelled. I'm sorry I did
guys,
this.
I'm sorry for yelling. Yeah. I'm sorry.
One more time, Jesse just can't help himself. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said the truth. And it just explodes again. It's like how the funniest things happen when you're trying not to laugh. It's like they're trying not to fight, and because of that, the fight is even better. And it's so fantastic.
On top of all of that, that cake looked a mess.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
It was like a cookie. Yeah,
such a disaster.
Bad cake. This was a dysfunctional family, as evidenced by multiple submissions on this list, and I feel like that this Keisha's birthday is the culmination of all of these out of control characters in one masterpiece, one recipe that was a lot better than how the cake turned out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like you would have to just do this entire podcast over again and just get rid of Keisha's birthday, because we just know it's just. Yeah, I mean, everything Terrence said, it's just such a ride. It's just such a ride involving everyone. It just cascades upon itself. And it has ramifications throughout the rest of the season. It's such a rare thing that you get during Big Brother that I don't think that any other show even can really replicate, you know, not even the show itself. I don't see. It's just insurmountable. It truly is.
Okay.
Yeah, and I will say I came in with an open mind as well. I was very much it is kind of the front runner. It is kind of the default.
And
I was the number one seed. Yeah, I was hoping that that something could come in and change my mind. And I definitely did not come in thinking, oh, it's obviously going to be Rockstar or Keisha's birthday. Mm-hmm. But as we went, it's just, I really do feel this. It's hard. It's just too hard to top.
We talked it through. Congratulations.
The Magna Cum Laude definitely did come a little closer than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. But I mean, with that being said, it involves the exact same people. So,
congratulations to Keisha's birthday, the most fun fight in the history of Big Brother. So, anybody want cake?
And I love Michelle telling Keisha, like, calm down. You don't want to get upset on your birthday, okay?
Yeah.
And then she gets upset. Like,
for the winning clip, do we want to hear? I still have Jesse versus Libra and Keisha in April. Amon or either of those? Which of those is better?
How is this split up?
We have Jesse and Libra and Keisha and April.
Jesse and Libra is probably better.
Okay. All right, here we go. One more look back at Keisha's birthday.
So let's hear it.
I know exactly what I said, and I told it to April.
Okay, here's what
and you're running
down.
Back and forth.
Here's what I
want to
break
down.
He's still yelling.
It's over and out.
Oh my God.
I'm sitting in here talking with
you. You can talk all day long to me, Jesse. I'm tired of hearing you talk.
Okay.
Period.
You're not hurting me any.
No, you don't hurt me any.
Okay, so now you're just saying whatever I say.
You don't hurt me any, Jesse.
Okay.
All you're doing is hurting yourself.
By listening to something else, it
you
woke me up, and I went and told them. And I went and told them. And now it's my fault.
Oh my God, Jesse, you are so full of yourself, you can't even see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did not have the video of these clips if you were listening to this podcast, but you have missed out and you may want to check out the YouTube version because Amon is fully physically reenacting these moments as the clips go.
Yes. Incredible.
It is in my DNA. It is an unhealthy amount of times that I have consumed this fight.
Yeah.
So it should be studied by science. To be honest.
Nathan Jacob Michael Thomas said, we didn't even hear the whole fight and it won. Sheer dominance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it is that half the podcast would be playing the whole thing if we did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you so much, everybody, for checking out our bracket. And this was fun. I feel like that maybe in the BB off seasons, we should do this more often. We should probably just started this like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the promotion for Big Brother should just take a break more often.
Give it. Wait a couple more days to release the cast. Okay. All right. Of course, we are going to kick off our coverage officially of Big Brother 24 on Tuesday when we finally get to meet the players that are going to be on BB24. Nobody on this panel. It's going to be a bunch of people that we will meet on Tuesday. And so we were looking forward to that. And of course, we'll be live on Wednesday night. Again, great time to jump in and become a patron of Rob is a Podcast in the month of July because we have so much stuff coming your way. That's at robiswebsite.com/patron. And don't forget about our annual membership, our biggest sale of the year. Pay for 10 months and get 12 at robiswebsite.com/patron with an annual membership. Amon, what's coming up for you?
I am over with Liana and Beth on the Drag Race Wrap Up, covering Drag Race All Stars, All Winners, Season 7. It has been a beautiful ride thus far, and we got about maybe half of the season left. So the next episode is actually coming out tomorrow. Well, but for the show, not for the podcast. So yeah, and yes, like Rob said, and this is going to be the last time I ever mention this. Nobody's on Big Brother, okay? I'm not on Big Brother 24. I was never in the running to be on Big Brother 24. It wasn't going to happen. And I will also say this.
Yes.
For everyone.
Yes.
If you know somebody that is in the running on Big Brother, the last thing that you would want to do is scream to the heavens, this person is probably going to be on the show. I'm
right.
hearing a lot from them. They're on the show. Because what that's going to do is tell production, drop their ass from the cast. So if I actually were in the running to be on Big Brother Big Brother 24, first of all, would not have deleted my Twitter. Second of all, why would you do that? So just
got that, Chappelle?
Yeah, Chappelle.
I think that was supposed to be a subtweet.
And a few others, yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay.
Keep your mouths closed.
All right. Amon, incredible job tonight. This was so much fun. I'm glad you could be here for this. And
Thank you for doing this. This is so fun.
Okay. All right. Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Of course, just come hang out over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, playing some fun games, hanging out. We'll be doing some plenty of Big Brother stuff. I'll be watching the Big Brother episodes live as they happen, reacting to them. We'll have some fun Big Brother coverage coming up.
Okay. Very exciting. And then, of course, we are going to have everything coming your way. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/subscribe. You can subscribe to Rob as a Podcast, our main feed, and, of course, our Big Brother podcast feed. Go to robhasawebsite.com/BB feed for that. That's where you get all of our recaps. And then also Taryn's daily live feed updates kicking off next week. And thank you so much for joining us here. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit subscribe as well so you get all of our YouTube comment coming your way. Take care, everybody. Have a good one and take care. Bye. Today's podcast is brought to you by Hyundai in the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the wide range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com.